Recording 13A.
Hi, Joe.
Hello, Deborah. Listen, have you had much experience dealing with amnesia?
Actually, yes, I have. It was a patient I had last year when I was working in a hospital in Canada.
Can you remember much about it?
Well, a man was brought to us with some facial and head injuries, and he couldn't remember who he was, where he lived, or how he came to be in Canada.
Oh, were there any clues at all?
Well, he spoke with a strong British accent, so the police realized he couldn't be Canadian. They took him to a language expert who said that he could have come from Yorkshire in England.
Oh.
The police also managed to find out that he could speak French and Italian, but he couldn't remember his name, address, age, or anything. Can you imagine what it must be like to have your whole life lost like that?
Yes, it must be awful. But do you think he was genuine? He might have been trying to run away from his past or something. People can do funny things when they've experienced something terrible.
Well, if he was, it certainly wasn't the best way to go about it, because his picture was in all the papers and on the news. He wouldn't have been able to fool everybody for so long if it wasn't true, I'm sure. At some point, he was bound to have said something to give it away. No, I think he really had genuinely lost his memory and couldn't remember anything.
He could have had a wife and children waiting for him somewhere, wondering what had happened. Do you know if he was married?
Well, he can't have been, because if he'd been married, his wife would have reported him missing.
Do you know what happened to him afterwards?
Well, apparently he's been able to find his parents, and now he's back in England living with them.
That's amazing. Did you ever work out how he had lost his memory?
Well, when he arrived at the hospital, he had a head injury and no personal effects. No wallet or phone or anything. We assumed that he had probably been attacked and robbed, and he must have hit his head, resulting in the loss of memory.
It can't be easy for his parents, living with someone who doesn't remember their past. They must be having a difficult time adjusting to it all.
Well, in my experience of these cases, pieces of memory do gradually come back. He may remember some things already, and over a few years he'll probably be able to remember quite a lot. He could make a total recovery one day.
Recording 13B.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, I am going to tell you about the research I have been conducting into the history of soap. While you may be able to find some information on the origins of soap, it is not a substance which has excited a great deal of study so far. What we do know is that even as long ago as 2500 BC, soap was being used. Of course, initially it was only ever used on clothing rather than the body itself. In fact, although soap has existed for so many years, the use of soap for personal hygiene was unheard of until fairly recently and is considered to be a relatively modern notion. So we can only assume that other activities must have provided the basis from which this key concept arose. To make soap, you need to combine three materials in relatively exact proportions. So, How is it that these primitive people from over 2,000 years ago could have discovered soap? Well, what these people lacked in technology, they certainly made up for in practical skills. I carried out some experiments using basic techniques to try to find out what people without any chemical knowledge might have observed. And I was able to demonstrate that they would indeed have been able to make a soap-like substance that is not dissimilar to the one we know today. However, it is fair to assume that, as the process requires a certain amount of time and specialisation, soap would most likely have only been available in the wealthy communities. Although there are claims that the British Celts and their European counterparts used soap, there is no real evidence that the British colonies of the Iron Age had access to such a product. Now, the history of soap is not easy to discover. As soap is an organic substance, no traces of it remain in archaeological sites, so we have had to rely almost entirely on written texts for our discoveries. Fortunately, there are many of these. The first known written mention of soap was on Sumerian clay tablets dating from about 2500 BC. The tablets spoke of the use of soap in the washing of wool. In another instance, a medical document from about 1500 BC mentions that Egyptians bathed regularly. It also describes how they made soap by combining alkaline salts and oil, which they extracted from vegetables. We also know that the Romans used a mixture of earth, soda, and wine to clean their clothes and pots. For the Romans, bathing was not just a matter of hygiene. It was a form of relaxation, a social activity. The bather moved from room to room, getting progressively hotter, until they reached a steamy room where dirt was sweated out and scraped away with a metal blade. The Romans used scented bath oils, but these were used to moisturise the skin rather than to cleanse it, and there is no evidence that they used soap in this way. This is not to say that the Romans did not have soap. During the excavation of Pompeii, a city that was buried under the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD, an entire soap factory was revealed, showing that they did in fact have access to soap, but that they simply did not use it for personal hygiene.